I'm going to read from Matthew 25 some verses, but if you want to go ahead and turn to Isaiah 13, and this is just, I think, a conclusion to the last 2 weeks. I'm going to read a few verses in Matthew 25 that you are very, very familiar with. And then I'm going to turn to Isaiah 13. Before I read, though, and we attempt to join together to worship our Lord, would you bow with me as we seek His face? Gracious Lord, we know that we cannot know Thee in Your fullest, but we're thankful for that You have revealed to us concerning our Lord, the Spirit of God, our Father. And that You have, and Lord, I have hope that You will again do for the church in the coming years. My Father, as we open the Scriptures, leave us not to ourselves and help these. For if all they hear is My voice, they will receive nothing. But if they can hear in their heart that small, tender, soft voice of the Spirit teaching, instructing, directing, guiding, drawing. And Lord, that is something that we desire this day. You draw us as an individual to Thee, and with a great realization that I am in Thy presence, Lord, but not only each as an individual, but we as a body of believers, that there might be unity, that there might be love, that we might be what we ought to be, and that we might have wisdom to deal with all situations for Thy glory. Oh, dear Father, help. Lord Jesus, we desire that You might come, dwell in our midst for this little while, and that we might have the Spirit of God in hearing and in speaking, all to Thy glory, Father, for we ask it in Your Son's dear name. Amen. In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus set before us this parable. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, or they that were foolish. No, 5 of them were foolish and 5 wise. I said that backwards, but you know. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels. Oil, as you know, throughout the Old Testament and all the offerings that they would make and the sacrifices, where they would use oil to anoint, is symbolic of the Spirit of God. These had that. The wise, in a great degree, the foolish, just in temporal works. Let me read you what would fit that. And this will we do if God permit, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. Paul said it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. If you want to see one in the Old Testament that did have the workings of the Spirit of God from time to time, Saul, the king of Israel, first king, it is said of him that the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. And to David's seed, he promised, I won't take the Spirit or my mercy from you as I did from Saul. You remember in 1 Samuel 16, the evil spirit came upon him when the Spirit of God departed. Saul would fit the category of foolish virgins. They had a lamp. They had that testimony. Some looked at Saul and said, is he among the prophets? For he prophesied. But they got no oil when they meet the bridegroom. Verse 5 of Matthew 25, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. By the way, if you want to go back this afternoon sometime, I was reading to you from Hebrews chapter number 6. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Now here's what I would title this, if I have to do that, and I do. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. That may be the condition of the church when our Lord returns. I don't know. But if I say to you today that the church is asleep, I am not saying that all that are in the church are asleep. You're always going to have an individual here or there that doesn't fit in with the entire congregation. I am not saying when I tell you that the church is asleep, that she has neglected the Christian duties that God requires of her. She could be, in the fullest sense and very extensive, carrying out all the commands, but yet she doesn't have a heart in what she's doing. She's asleep. How many daily chores do you do? You perform. You just it's just a custom. You do it day after day. You wash the dishes, you sweep the house, you clean the clothes, you do whatever outside that you got to do. And you don't have to have a heart in it. You don't even have to have a mind in it. You've done it so long that you just do without thinking about what you're doing. That's the church asleep. She just performs the duties God's required of her. She's done it so long that her heart's not in it anymore. At midnight. Now this will carry us back to our last two from Revelation 20 that I've tried to set before you. At midnight, the cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." In the darkest part of the night, in our world, after Satan has been loosed and he's gone out to deceive all the nations again, just like he was previously doing before Christ came, and the sun made that journey from that east over there in Jerusalem all the way to this land here in the west. And for some time it's been going down and darkness has covered the land. I don't know where you are, but I know this, that even God's people go to sleep at times. I can't remember who wrote this. It was a couple of hundred years ago. "Awake my soul in joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise." Get up. Awake. One of the contemporaries was Charles Spurgeon, and I wish you would give this some thought later on. He was talking about the masterful work of Jehovah in the church's salvation. He said it was the greatest display of the manifold wisdom of God. It was the most costly exhibition of his riches and of his grace. In constructing it, the salvation of the church, it would seem as if he summons all the resources, his resources of his own infinity, his fathomless mind, his boundless love, his illimitable grace, his infinite power, his spotless holiness, all went into completing such a divine work. And if God did that for you, shouldn't you strive to see that that soul is awake? That you're not sleeping, though it's darkness all around. You're not sleeping. When you come to the Word of God, your soul is alert. When you go to the closet, you got a heart involved in speaking to the one that constructed so great a salvation for us. Now, I'm quite sure that Esther, that little Jewish maid, from time to time, she would lose where she had been and where she was. All Jews condemned to death by Ahasuerus, the king, just following Haman's wicked devices. But because she was where she was, and the Lord used her to speak with her husband, can you imagine where she was to what she was that day, sitting on the right hand of the king, over the throne there of the world empire. But I'm sure that from time to time she would forget where she had been, what had been done for her, as you do. But awake, my soul. Now Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, beginning with verse 9, let's just read these two verses, 9 and 10. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. And folk, you read that verse and you automatically think that's not the God that we hear declared today. Cruel, with wrath and fierce anger. Now here's what the Lord told Isaiah that would be. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. When that happens, darkness covers the land. Now, folk, there is absolutely no way that you can take that literally. If the sun quits shining, then the world ends immediately. But look at this, the stars. Now Revelation 1:20 tells you that the stars, this is a mystery of the seven golden candlesticks and the seven stars. The stars are the ministers to those seven churches. Constellation is no more than a group of stars joined together. I've had one or two of the old men of the last generation that told me about getting together with the ministers of a large city and holding a citywide campaign where you had so many of the pastors all in favor and all supporting it in the different churches. You can't get ministers together today. Now, I was asked many years ago, when first in the larger city, to meet together with a group, and there were 20 or 25 pastors there that just said, meet with us. We meet on such a day once a month at this place. We pray. We have a Bible study and discussion. And I went, and there was any and everything talked about but God. And when they prayed, they were more interested in how they sounded to each other than they were in talking with God. I did not go back. You can't even get 20 together today that will agree. No more constellations, no more stars shining. That's dark. No light in that constellation. And the sun, notice the language in this verse. The sun darkened in his going. What do you think that the Spirit of God is trying to tell us there? That is our Lord Jesus Christ that I tried to set before you last week in the 19th Psalm as that heavenly bridegroom going out to meet the bride. But in the last days, he in his going shall be darkened. But you got another little word there. And the moon shall not cause her light to shine. So you've got the male and you've got the female. You've got the bridegroom and you got the church. But because the bridegroom is not manifesting himself, then darkness prevails in our world. Now, what happens to the traveler on a strange road when all the lights go out? What does he do? Well, certainly not knowing the way and it being total darkness there, he stops where he is. Now, traveling and following the Lord. Psalm 77 said, O Lord, thy way is in the sea, and thy pathway upon great waters. And you can't follow, and you can't see the footsteps that our Lord Jesus made. His disciples couldn't see those footsteps as he walked on water to them. So the steps that the Lord made yesterday, 50 to 400 years ago, they're all gone. And we're striving and trying to find the direction in which the Lord is going this day. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 107, they go down to the sea in ships. These do great business in deep waters, but we've been paddling around in little shallow waters so long we don't see the great works of God anymore. Paul out there in that dark ocean or sea and great waters, no sun or stars in many days. And he said the tempest was so strong that all hope, got nothing to hope in. All the lights are out. Hadn't seen the sun in the daytime, have not seen the stars at night. We don't know if we're going around in circles or we're headed to a course that we set out to get to. We don't know. We had no hope. Well, the child of God is all right when things grow very dark in this old world. If you can look into the heavenlies and see lights above which guide. But the sun's darkened in his going. The stars, they don't shine anymore. And we don't know. Well, some, maybe many, are going to say you're putting too much emphasis on the natural things as the sun and the moon, and there is no voice in them today. God's given us completed revelation of his book, so you need only to dwell there. Well, you can get rid of the Old Testament, you can get rid of Revelation, you can get rid of the journeys of Paul. There's no application there to us. But it's not true. You can read Genesis. God created the world, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, representing the darkness of every child of God before he or she's converted. And God said, when all was dark, God said, let there be light. And there was light. But a long time before the old men and women, Scripture had Psalm 19 to teach them about the bridegroom as and the sun above reflecting him. Long before they ever had that, Joseph dreamed a dream. And the sun and the moon and all 11 stars bowed down to him. And Jacob knew immediately, "Son, do you think that I and your mother and your 11 brothers are going to bow down to you?" He knew what Joseph's dream meant. Why could I not look at the moon and see the church? When she's out in that foolish phase, I can see dark spots in her. But the moon's not going to give any light here. Now listen, when I said we have the completed revelation of God to man, I did not say that we now have all of God revealed to us. He can't do that. No, we got all that God intended that we know about him and about the Godhead. But our God is not confined to 66 little books. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Everything God created either has a voice in it to the children, or Paul missed it altogether in 1 Corinthians. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Paul, what are you talking about? How can you use creation to tell you what God has done for the sinner? Because God intended that I see in the heavens his glory, and I see in the firmament his handiwork. God intended that I see in that first day the great work of salvation when God said, "Let there be light." Everything has got a voice in it. But what was it now that brought about the midnight darkness that the bride's in, the virgins are in? I misspoke when I said the bride. There's only 5 virgins that make up the bride. Absolute darkness. Wrong way. Joel 2:10. That's past all the major prophets. Daniel, Hosea, and I hope I can find it. Just a little small book. Now you're going to have to help me here. I've lost it all together in my mind. What's it after, somebody? I got it. Well, I didn't know that. I don't know. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 10. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. All heavenly lights are out, all of them. And at midnight, a cry came, "The bridegroom cometh." Now go back, and I think this will be the last place I ask you to turn. Just go back towards Isaiah to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter number 32. I'm still on the text. When the voice, the great cry came, go ye out to meet him. All was dark for those virgins. Ezekiel 32, verse number 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord. When God covered those lights above, when what at one time was stars shining in his church, they no longer shine. No light. The sun has been darkened in his going. The moon is not giving her light. It's all out. Light and the stars of heaven falling brought about the darkness where the virgins are now in. Now, folk, you can't do anything about the darkness in our land. But the greater danger for we as claiming to be wise virgins is to get so caught up in the darkness all about us and concentrating and so focused here that the light in my walk goes out. If I just keep thinking about the convulsions of this old world and the downfall of governments and the wickedness is all about us in high places down to the lowest in what's supposed to be government set there for our good. If I just focus on all this throughout the week, darkness covers my mind so, and any light that I might have from the scripture, it all goes out. And whatever puts the light out in your journey, it doesn't have to be the awful situation that we find ourselves in our once great land. It can be pleasure. It can be money. It can be family. Whatever it is that causes darkness, that brings you into great danger. For I tell you, there are many pits out there. Satan has dug and not covered up, but hidden. And you're in danger trying to walk in the darkness that is about you. Whatever, if it blocks out the light of the sun, S-O-N, you'll end up in darkness, and darkness brings sleep upon every one of us. Jesus said, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness brings on inactivity. Put it all down. And eventually, when the mind is free from all that you had to go through in the day and work and all, and it's somewhat calm and you get relaxed, you're going to go to sleep. Even the wise virgins that had the oil in their lamps. Now, children, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of Christ. Now, there will be times when the Spirit is somewhat dormant. Well, you better pray that he's not dormant every day. And I want you to walk out of here thinking, because sometimes you have darkness, that God has condemned you. Who is that servant that feareth the Lord and walketh in darkness? That seems to be a contrast. Fears God, walks in darkness? Sure. You're going to have those days. But God's going to see that situation and that darkness does not continue upon and in your life. Just don't make your own sparks. Start your own fires. Just wait upon the Lord. Wise and foolish. Our Lord said, all of you walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. Folks, it is covering this world. I mean, absolutely darkening the sun, the stars, the moon. Oh, it's darkening that. If you got a little light, you must walk in that, lest darkness come upon you. That darkness that you will live in and die in. Now here's Christ again. I am come a light into the world. Whosoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He didn't say you wouldn't have darkness in your life. You got to have. I don't know where I got this. It was in some health magazine 30 years ago, and I sure have put it in practice, having to get up so many times in the night. If you cut light on, it stimulates the eyes. And it tells the brain, get up. I walk without lights being on. And get back and lay back down. So here's what happens. Here's what takes place. Where you end up in darkness. Christ said, they that follow me shall not abide in darkness. So you get the difference now. You're going to go through dark times, but you won't abide there. Now here's what brings darkness to you. When you come to this book, and it becomes little more or nothing more than just a religious duty. You read it, you read a certain amount each day, but nothing in it applies to you. You read it, you close it, and you find that the Word of God had nothing to say to your heart. You're headed to darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Psalm 119, 105. When the word of God stops shining on my pathway, I'm going to end up in great darkness. When one is traveling in dark, if you'll get to the word of God and he'll make it a living book, then you'll have light to walk in. You get no light in his word. Day after day, week after week, month after month, darkness has crept in. Children, when the local assembly where you gather to worship has no light in it anymore. Sure, we all meet. We'll all be back together, Lord willing, soon. But the very house of God has become utter darkness to you. It was at one time a little light when you gathered there, and when the Word of God was opened and even read, no more than read, it was a little light in your life, and you look forward to the Lord's day when you could put everything down. But there's no light there anymore. When the local pastor, who was in past days or years a spokesman of the Lord to you, but now God has nothing to say to you through him. He might declare truth. There might be light in the truth that he declared in time past. But it's the same as if you've got a closed book. It's the same as if you didn't make it to the assembly. Paul said, you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. Oh, the preachers of old, they declare the Word of God, and there was such light shining as you listened to them. Oh, but gone, children. The book, the house of God, ministers of God at one time were stars shining. They were the angels of the seven churches. But there's no light in them anymore. And the one place that it is absolutely a necessity for activity to take place is in your heart. But has it become dull? Have you found a bed of ease and comfort sitting on the pew? Well, we're going to hear one day. You might be by yourself. Good possibility of that. When the word comes, go out and meet him. Might and will be a group that'll hear it simultaneously when our Lord comes back. There's going to be a voice in this church. It's going to say, our Lord's coming. Go ye out to meet him. And folk, when that word comes, it is a word of authority. Nobody can say in a few minutes, or I'll be through what I'm doing in an hour or tomorrow. Nobody. No, you're going that instant. When the bridegroom comes. But here in Matthew 25, when that word, that command was given, go out to meet him, that command had no fear in it to the foolish virgins. They didn't dread it. They thought everything was all right. I mean, they were in good company. The only thing that they didn't have, I mean, it's their oil's gone now, but surely, we'll have time to go buy some more for our lamps. Why shouldn't they look forward to meeting the bridegroom? They've spent their life living for him. So though it is a command with authority, go out. But in foolish virgins, it is a command that they'll skip happily into his presence. Without ever a thought of, am I his? Search your hearts, children, and don't let the light of the house of God, of the Word of God, of the ministers of God, don't let it go out. Dark all around. That doesn't mean you got to live in darkness. We got the light of the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of the Son of God. Be ye ready when that command is given.